I want to read two short passages from the Word of God. One from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. If you have your Bible with you, just open it up to Second Book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, for our first reading. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 25. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. It came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. Now we'll read a portion from the New Testament, the Gospel according to John, chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus said unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother said unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, Fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He saith to them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, for the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of these scriptures. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence. We thank thee for every child that's in here today and every young person. We thank thee, O God, for each mother. And so we ask, as we have read from the Holy Scriptures, that thou wilt speak to all our hearts today. And grant that this may be the red letter day in someone's life. The day when they'll come to know the Savior. We ask it, giving thanks in his precious name. Amen. Now, as most of us know and has been already remarked, they call this Mother's Day. I think every day should be Mother's Day. It was in our house. It's the first person you look for when you get up in the morning, for it's her that usually came and opened the bedroom door and says, Come on, it's time to get up. You say, Well, why didn't your father do that? Well, he was away to his work 2 hours or 3 hours before that. I didn't want wakened up when he went away to his work. His mother usually come and open the bedroom door and say, Come on, boys. It's time for school. Time to get up. So she was the last person you saw when you left. And when you come home, see, we didn't get supplied with eats at the school. We got an hour in which to run home, get your lunch and back to school again. It'd be something unusual if she wasn't in the house when we got home. At 12 o'clock, first person you looked for. And when you got home out of school after 4, Again, if she wasn't there, that's the first question you would ask. Where is she? There's my mother. And she was usually the last person you saw at night before you went to bed. So every day in our house was Mother's Day. See, there were six of us, so you know she had a full day. I suppose she was last to go to bed at night, and she must have been the first to get up in the morning. So it's nice that some folk put one day aside just to pay a tribute to them, honor them. That's why I've read to you two scriptures, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, regarding these mothers. However, this first woman that we read about, way back in the Old Testament, she answered three questions, and she answered them with three words. Now, I doubt if any of us here today could do that. If someone was asking you three questions, do you think you could answer the three questions with three words? But she did. But the woman we read about in the New Testament, this mother, it wasn't a matter of asking a question with her. And she gave some very good advice. Excellent advice. So I want for a short time now to consider the questions that were asked at this woman back in the Old Testament and the answers she gave. And then we'll spend a little time considering the excellent advice that was given by this mother in the New Testament. Here were the three questions. She's on her way, and she's traveled perhaps at least 7 miles to find the man of God. The reason she is seeking for Elisha is because she's in difficulty. A mother in difficulties. Some folks seem to think that mothers don't have any difficulties. But those of you who are mothers here, you know something about it. And they add up. A woman who was a mother and she's in difficulties. And she realized that the best thing to do was seek out the man of God, God's man, Elisha. A moment or two, we'll consider what she thought of that man. But he looked and he saw her away, coming on the road. Saw her a good distance. And he said to his servant, "See, there's that Shunammite woman coming. Run, run and get her. See what's wrong. There's something wrong." And Gehazi, the servant, runs and he's to ask her three questions. "Is it well with thee?" Question number one. "Is it well with thy husband?" Question number two. "Is it well with the child?" She only had one child. "Is it well with the child?" And she gave her answer in three words. She said, "It is well." Now think of the questions. "Is it well with thee?" There was a question directed to a woman as a woman. "Is it well with thy husband?" That answers what our brother said at the beginning, Brother Herbert, when he spoke about wives. "Is it well with thy husband?" That is a woman as a wife. "Is it well with the child?" That's a woman as a mother. You know, that's the order of things in the natural course, isn't it? When God in creation produced Adam, most of you, I suppose, are familiar with this, that when he created Adam, he created Eve in Adam. The woman was already in Adam. And he took that part out of Adam and he built it into the woman. And he brought the woman to Adam, and she became Adam's wife. Then later on, she became a mother, and was the mother of many sons and many daughters. Some of you only know of two. You know of Cain and you know of Abel. That's about those folks that don't read their Bible at all. The atheists, you know, they come along and say, they're two children. Cain killed Abel. And where did Cain get his wife? A question I would like to ask some of these fellows is where they got theirs. And how she likes it. Because I wouldn't like to live with any of them. But the Bible says that many sons and many daughters, we're told the name of another one, we're told the name of Seth. So we have the names of three of their boys, Cain, Abel, and Seth. But the Bible said that many sons and many daughters, so first of all, she was a woman, she was a wife, and she was a mother. Now this particular woman who was asked those three questions was a woman who was given to great discernment. She was a great woman, says the Bible. Not only a great woman, she must have been a great wife. And she was also a great mother. Great amount of love for that child. Willing to run 7 miles to get help for her boy. You see, I know she was a woman of great discernment because there was a man passing to and fro, passing by her home, on his way to Mount Carmel. And she said to her husband one day, you see that man that's passing to and fro? She said, that's a man of God. How did she know? She watched him in his walk. And you know, the idea of the walk in the Bible is always indicative of one's manner of life. She watched him in his walk, the way he moved, the way he walked, the way he lived, so to speak. She said, that man is a man of God, we're going to invite him in. They invited him in, and as he was passing to and fro, that seemed to be his little motel, his resting place in the way. She prepared the food for him. Then one day she said to her husband, now look, we'll have to make a special room for that man. We'll build a room on the wall or up on the roof somewhere where he can come, and even if we're not here or we're in bed, he'll be able to find his place. He'll be able to come in and go out as he likes. They called it a little chamber in the wall. A little room, a little annex that they built on. She didn't put a lot in it. She had a little table. And then there was a chair, and there was a bed, and there was a light. Well, what more did he want? You know, you go along today, and they want you to come to this motel and that motel and all the advertisements down the highway. And they have their swimming pools, and they have this, and they have that, and all. And all you want is a bed for the night. That's all. So when I'm traveling, I look for these little ones that just, you know, they're not as expensive as these big ones. And all you need is a nice little clean room with a bed. That's all. That's all she did. She was a discerning woman. And this man was just a pilgrim passing through, he was a stranger. We'll make him a little room. A little chamber in the wall. And the man of God would go in and out and in and out as he was passing to and fro. And she was a woman, not only a discernment, a woman given to hospitality. A great woman. And the day came when God, as it were, blessed her. The blessing of God came upon her. The man of God says to her, now would you like me to speak to you, to the governor or the king? And I could get you, you know, into the palace. She said, now look, I just dwell with my own people. While she was a great woman, she was marked by humility. Quite content just to live with her own people. Now these are some of the things that are seen about this woman, this great woman. But we're interested just now in the fact that she became a mother. She only had one child, a boy. I suppose he was the delight of his mother's eye. I don't know, but I think he'd be a little bit spoiled, don't you? One. And the day came when something came upon her like a crash. He went out to his father in the field, like any other boy playing around. It was harvest time. They were out working in the field. When the sun seemed to be too strong for him, and he took what you and I would call today sunstroke. His father said to one of the servants, carry him to his mother. Isn't that strange? Why couldn't he have done something for him? You know, when I look back on it, when I got hurt, or when any other children get hurt, children do get hurt. You know, you go out playing in the summertime and you take your shoes off and your socks off, you want your bare feet like everybody else, and you stand on a nail or on a piece of glass or something or other, and you get your foot cut or hurt. Who'd you run to? Mother. You show your mother what's happened. If you hurt your hand or someone punched you, who your mother? When a child has a pain, run to mother. And so he says, take the child to his mother. And they brought the child to the mother. Ah, she looked. She says, he's gone. Go to the man of God in trouble. A mother, upset because of her boy, run to the man of God. And the man of God sends his servant to her, and the servant says, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Is it well? Let me ask you, ladies, today. Number one, is it well with thee? Can you say that everything is well with you? Now, I'm going to apply this in one way. Is it well with you so far as your relationship with God is concerned? Have you settled the issue between your soul and your God? Believe what, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you? If not, then it's not well with you. You couldn't answer the way this woman answered. She said, it is well. A woman as a woman, it is well. She knew that she was right with God. Do you? Is it well with thy husband? Do you know? I have three nieces who all as young girls profess to trust the Lord. The time came for them to get married. And each of them married a young fellow who didn't know the Lord. Now don't misunderstand me, they haven't been hard on them. Three of them are fairly well off, doing well so far as the things of the world are concerned. You get lovely homes, husbands have good jobs, doing well. In fact, one of them not only has her place in Scotland, she has a place away down in Spain that they fly over to occasionally. Oh yes, all right, so far as the things of the world are concerned. But they're not saved. The result is this, they have drifted away from the things of the Lord and they are not enjoying their salvation. Well, what are the things of the world? They're here today and gone tomorrow. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Is it well with thy husband? Is he a Christian? Is he saved? You say, well, I'm sorry, I couldn't say it as well as far as he's concerned. Or perhaps you can. I trust the most of you can. But maybe there's someone who can say that. Have you ever prayed for his salvation? Have you prayed that he may come to know the Lord? Have you prayed that God will help you to live before him in order to prove to him what it really means to be a Christian? Or if it comes to the third one, is it well with the family? Is it well with the child or the children? I remember one man who had a family of eight. And I can remember as a young lad sitting in an audience where he was on the platform with his eight sons, and they were all singing together as a male voice chorus. One of his sons was married. He had family too. And then all these had one sister. Not one sister each, as one man would say, because that would make eight sons, you know, and eight others, but that wasn't it. There were one daughter. So she was the sister to all the... She used to play the instrument for them. And they sang. I thought to myself, what a wonderful thing to see a family like that, and each one of them professing to know the Lord. Is it well with the children? But what a heartbreak it is for a mother or a father to do their best for the children, to live before them and teach them and instruct them, yet they grow up and go into the paths of sin. And you ask the question of what's gone wrong? Have we gone wrong? What have we done wrong? What have we failed to do? Is it well with the child? That's the burden on a mother's heart, isn't it? She not only wants her, if she's a Christian woman, she not only wants her children to be well physically, but she wants them to be well spiritually. She wants them to grow up to know the Lord. Is it well with thee? As a woman, do you know the Lord? Is it well with thy husband? Is your husband in agreement with you with regards to spiritual things? Is it well with the child, or is it well with the children? Can you say, it is well? Three questions answered by three words. Ah, but when you come over to that passage I read to you from the New Testament, here's a mother who gives excellent advice. Now, you young folks, listen. How many of you have been prepared to take advice from your mother? Or do you refer to her as that old lady? You know? One day a young fellow was talking about his mother and referred to her as the old lady. My father was there. He says, John, who are you referring to? Who is this old lady you're referring to? Oh, he said, mother. Oh, he said, she's your mother. Well, he said, in my company, please, if you're referring to your mother, refer to her as your mother and not the old lady. In fact, the fact that mother is, his mother wasn't too old at the time, but you know, she's just the old lady. His father was just the old fellow. You see, he had grown up, or he had learned it all now. He was entering into his twenties. He had learned it all. His father and mother didn't know anything like what he knew, so he thought, here's a mother who is able to give excellent advice, and the blessing is the took it. Let me ask you young folks today, are you prepared to take advice from those that are older than yourself? Were you willing to take advice from your father or your mother? Remember this, they've been round an awful lot of corners that you have yet to go round. They've seen an awful lot of things that you have never yet seen. They've learned an awful lot of little things that you have yet to learn. They've come the way that you're still coming. Here was a day, it was a wedding day. That should have been the most joyful day in the life experience. It's usually a day when there's a lot of joy. But that day their joy ran out. The blessing is they had invited the Lord there. It'll be a happy wedding if the Lord's there. They invited him and his disciples, and Mary was there. Strange thing, when he addressed her here, he addressed her as woman. Oh, it distinctly says that his mother was there, it's true, But never do you find anywhere in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ ever addressed Mary as mother. There's a thing round here, a few blocks away. And on that big notice board it says, Mary, the mother of the church. Did you ever see anything so ridiculous? And others will say, Mary, the mother of God. Nowhere in the Word of God do you read that as blasphemy. It's true, according to the natural setting of things, she was his mother. She gave birth to him as a man. But remember, he is the ever-existing eternal Son of the eternal God. And when she said to him, Son, they've got no wine. She says, Woman, what have I to do with you? Mine hour is not yet come. He paid respect to Joseph and Mary as he was growing up. But there came the time when he had to be about his father's business. When he had to bid farewell to the little home in Nazareth. Enter out into his public ministry. He was going to demonstrate who he was. And here was the first occasion at a wedding. The joy has run out. She said, they've got no wine. But she said to the others, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now there's excellent advice. It's the only sermon that Mary ever preached that I'm aware of. It wasn't preached on a desk. It was spoken in a home, at a wedding, to the servants. That whatsoever he said unto you, do it. You see, she directs them first of all to a person. Mothers, it's a great day in your life when you can direct your children to the Lord. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. See, we all need to be directed to the Lord. It's good advice. John the Baptist gave a similar advice, you remember? He said, Behold, the Lamb of God. Mary says, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Not only did she direct them to the person of Christ, she directed them to the Word of Christ. Whatsoever he saith unto you. Have you ever taken time to think of what he said unto you? And not only does he say it, we're supposed to go by it and do it. When you come to the following chapter, John chapter 3, here's what he's saying to Nicodemus. Ye must be born again. He's saying it to you. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. When you come to chapter 4, he said, He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. In John chapter 5, he meets a man in need, and he says, Wilt thou be made whole? John chapter 6, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Of course, naturally, bread has got to be taken and eaten. John chapter 7, the great day of the feast. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And on you go out through John's gospel, and he's speaking all the time, but here's the one thing from John's gospel we should never forget what he says to us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Have you, my friend? Have you taken advice? Have you listened to the sermon that was preached by Mary? Have you taken it in? Have you turned and listened to what the Lord has to say? They did it that day, and they discovered that the work of Christ could bring satisfaction. "It is well," she said. I read recently that the man who wrote that great hymn, "It is well with my soul," had sent his wife, and I think it was 3 or 4 children, on board a ship to cross the Atlantic to go to Europe. The ship was just so far out in the Atlantic when it was sunk, destroyed. The man got word back, a letter or a cable, whatever it was. His wife sent it from Europe. And all the words were this: "Saved alone. Saved alone." The children had been lost in the sinking of the ship. She had been picked up. The man set out to go over to Europe. He asked the captain of the ship that he was going with. He said, "I want you, when you get to the place where that ship was sunk, to tell me." He said, "I at least want to see the place where my children went down." So the captain was good to his word and told him. He went up from his cabin and stood on the deck with the captain. He said it was somewhere around here, according to the report. The man looked at it, shed a tear or two, went down into his cabin, and wrote that hymn that you have sung so often: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." Wonderful, my friend, when in the height of difficulties and troubles and disasters, the question comes, "Is it well with thee?" You're able to answer, "It is well. I've listened to his word. I've responded to his word. I've exercised faith in Christ. I've got confidence in him. Confidence in his word. Confidence in his work. I know he's mine. And I am his. It is well. It is well with my soul." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a morning hour spent together. Thou knowest there are burdened hearts here today. There are many who can look back over times when they've sailed on rough seas. They've had difficulties, yet they can say, "It is well with my soul." We think of others who have never yet exercised faith. They've never turned their attention to thy beloved Son. And today, they are not ready. Oh God, we pray that before they leave this building today, they'll close in with the offer of salvation and be able to say with absolute confidence, "It is well." Hear us in these things now for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to ask Bobby to lead us in the singing of 2 verses of a hymn, after which the meeting is entirely over.
Number 256. 256. "It is well with my soul." We'll sing the first and the third only. First and the third. Let us stand, please. First and the third. 256. "When peace like a river attendeth Amen.